Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to start by saying that I truly consider it a privilege and an honor to stand here in the pulpit at Main Street this morning. I first came here to Main Street while I was in college. I worked for 2 summers here as a summer investment program worker in this congregation. This congregation and this community are a big part of my story and my journey in ministry. And furthermore, I suppose that you all are quite a big part of why I'm back here in Greenwood today. As I was finishing seminary last spring and researching hospital settings to do a residency in clinical pastoral education, I immediately noticed that there was a CPE center here at Self Regional, and I felt like coming back to Greenwood and back to Main Street would be a welcome opportunity. So in March of last year, I drove over from Atlanta and had a committee interview at Self. Clinical Pastoral Education, or CPE, is a program that allows you to staff the hospital as a chaplain while at the same time working through curriculum with supervisors and peers in order to become a more effective minister. The interview process is an interesting one, just to tell you a little about it. I was expecting to paint myself as a well-educated, very capable young minister who had learned an awful lot about God's Word in seminary. I was in my final semester of seminary, and I felt like I'd done very well to learn history and theology and practice. And in that interview, I was prepared to prove that I had learned these things and that I could do them well. But I was quickly shown that this wasn't exactly what that program asked of me. They asked me what I've come to know is a very, very important question. Mallory, are you teachable? What they wanted to know was if I thought I was coming into this program confident of what I had to offer, or if I was willing to see what I could learn from the people around me. And now, after a year of CPE, I've been sitting in on those committee interviews, screening new candidates for the residency. And still, we always ask that question, are you teachable? Put another way, have you learned all you need to learn, or do you think you can grow here? It's really easy when you think you've been well-trained and educated to become confident and complacent in your knowledge and your understanding. With all the things I thought I knew about the church and about God and the way I thought things should be, I sure am glad that I learned that I had not and still not learned everything I need to learn. And so it was in the story we just read from Luke's Gospel. In the verses we just read, Jesus had been invited to the home of a Pharisee for dinner. The Pharisee is someone who knew a lot about God and a lot about the law, but he didn't seem to actually know God and what knowing God means. And the subsequent events illustrate for us the importance of recognizing that we have not yet arrived at the end of what we need. When we turn to this passage from Luke, what we find is Simon, a Pharisee having invited Jesus over for dinner. I'd like to paint that scene just a little bit. I find that helpful when I'm digging into a story. A dinner party in our time would not look very much at all like a dinner in that time. An occasion such as this would have been somewhat public, not private like the meals that we share. It was not unusual for uninvited townspeople to crowd around the walls surrounding the host and his guests to watch the dinner and listen to discussion. Jesus would have been lying on his side, probably his left side, propped up on his elbow, eating with his right hand, with his feet sort of curled behind him. And that way, it wasn't too difficult for this woman to sort of end up behind Jesus at his feet. And this woman, who was standing at the feet of Jesus, was overcome with emotion, and she began to weep. She wept all over Jesus' feet, and then she used her tears to wash his feet, and she dried them with her hair, and she put ointment on his feet, and she kissed them. What the story explains to us is that this woman extended a courtesy of hospitality that Simon had not extended when receiving Jesus, which Jesus does not fail to point out later in the story. He didn't wash his feet or give him oil for his head or greet him with a kiss, all things that would have been customary in that time. Simon's actions, or lack thereof, would surely offend our own Southern proclivities toward hospitality. Down South, you can say a whole lot about us, but you cannot say that we lack hospitality. What Simon basically did in a good South Carolina translation was invite Jesus in, but didn't offer to greet him with a hug or a handshake, didn't offer to take his coat, and didn't offer him a glass of sweet iced tea. What Simon showed was a sort of confidence and arrogance. The woman, on the other hand, approached Jesus with humility that I dare say not many of us would have today. And then Jesus, in his particular Jesus-like fashion, uses that contrasting opportunity as a teaching moment. He tells a parable about a creditor and two debtors, one with much debt and one with a little debt. Both debts have been forgiven. And he asks his host which debtor would be more grateful and love the creditor more. And I think what Simon gives is a measured and almost apprehensive answer, as surely he begins to see the trap he's being lured into. The one with the greater debt loves the creditor more. And what I can imagine is Jesus, his lips slowly curling into a sly little smile as he says, "Yes, you're right. This woman who recognizes her need for forgiveness, this woman who has experienced much in her life, who has not had the benefits afforded to the class of Pharisees, not had opportunities and privileges, this woman has been forgiven, and she knows it." And the understanding of her forgiveness compels her to show Jesus the love and gratitude and hospitality that Simon cannot, or at least has not, because he's been foolishly relying on his own righteousness. You see, there's a stark contrast between Simon and the uninvited woman. Simon's sense of righteousness compels him to set the guest list, to decide who is allowed at the table and who is not. The woman knows she's uninvited and not worthy of being there. She knows she's a sinner in need of love and forgiveness, and she dares to approach the table, to put herself in a place to encounter mercy and grace. Her response of love and hospitality are the expressions of her experience of grace. It occurs to me that we're a culture that supports the viewpoint of the Pharisee all too often. We understand forgiveness is something that we must earn, because, after all, that's what's fair and logical, right? But there is very little that's fair and logical about God's grace. Grace is what allows a man who owes 50 and a man who owes 500 to have both their debts forgiven. Grace and forgiveness cannot be earned, but are freely given to us by God through Christ. You know, as I was preparing for this, I was reminded of what I consider an incredible news story from late 2006, when a deeply disturbed man in a Pennsylvania Amish town entered a one-room schoolhouse with a handgun. He shot 10 girls, killing 5 of them before taking his own life. This was a truly horrific scene against the backdrop of a community that was truly committed to Christian love and nonviolence. But what makes this story even more remarkable to me is the love and forgiveness that arose and was exhibited by this community after the tragedy. A relative of one of the young victims said, "We must not think evil of this man. He had a mother and a wife and a soul." Even in the midst of their grief, the Amish community reached out to and comforted this man's family, some of them attending his funeral. And they acknowledged that this man too had a family, that they had experienced loss. This community, a community of love and grace, recognizes that our righteousness is not our own, but the righteousness of Christ. And this gives them the capacity for forgiveness in a time when scarcely anyone in the world around them felt like it was owed. The man's wife wrote a letter in response. In it, she said, "Your compassion has reached beyond our family, beyond our community, and is changing our world. And for this, we sincerely thank you." Forgiveness is a deeply rooted value in that community, with the recognition that we do nothing to earn forgiveness, but it is freely given from God. And so should we share that with one another, that same forgiveness, and its expression of love and compassion to one another. Your compassion has reached beyond our family, beyond our community, and is changing our world. What a powerful thing to say about a community. I wonder if sometimes we as the church get so caught up with ourselves and forget that we haven't learned all that we need to learn. I wonder if we get so comfortable in our faith that we've stopped seeing our need for grace and mercy. I wonder if we sometimes turn inward and forget the outward expression of love that is the faithful response to grace and mercy and the forgiveness that we've been freely given. Are we, you and I, experiencing God's love and forgiveness in such a way that we are inspired to turn outward and show that love and forgiveness to the community around us in a way that is truly changing our world? Just a few minutes ago, we as the Main Street congregation commissioned a group of Salkehatchee workers to go and change the world. I look out across the congregation and I see Stephen ministers and Kairos leaders and participants in Project Warm and Backyard Bible Club and a whole host of other opportunities to show God's love shed abroad this community here in Greenwood, in South Carolina, and beyond. I am glad to be a part of this congregation with so many ways to serve and express God's love, and I sincerely hope that we will continue to be a servant congregation. I challenge you this morning, if you aren't involved, get involved in some way. Because to be a forgiven people, as we are, means that we recognize that forgiveness just as that woman who washed Jesus' feet did. We recognize it and we show it. Show it in this congregation, in this community, in this nation, and in this world.